Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland.
Here.
Vice Mayor Klufas.
Present.
Councilmember Branquino.
Here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Here.
Councilmember Howell.
Present.
Mayor, all members are present.
Thank you. We'll now open it up to public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment? Now is your time. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Good evening. My name is Lou Vitale. I'm from Protect Palm Coast. I'm here to inform the City Council and the City Administration that we have engaged the services of John Tanner to represent Protect Palm Coast in our noble quest to save the Palm Coast Harbor golf course. Please be notified. All right. Number two, I did a little search today about Coastal Cloud, and I found a little presentation by the State of New York about corruption in contracting. Now, mind you, I live in the most corrupt city in America, not here. I lived in Washington for 30 years, where government corruption is a way of life. Okay? So basically what they say is that something happened between Coastal Cloud and Kentucky and some senior people, and at the end, they had made a decision that would be a fine against an individual and the group. This is on the internet. I found it about an hour before I came here. I'm not going to go over in detail, but if you call me, my cell phone number, or if you go to Protect Palm Coast, I will post this today, and you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Vitatech is an engineering company. I have 40 years of engineering experience at an extremely high level. Booz Allen Hamilton, NBC, Sperry Systems Management, and my company for over 35 years throughout the world. So I say that we have some serious issues about software development, programming, and contracts. And I will address this later as I collect more information. Thank you very much. Take care.
Next speaker.
My name is Cameron Orr. I've been a resident of Palm Coast since 2015. I am a graduate of the county, the city, and the Sheriff Citizens Academy. I'm an avid recreational boater. I hold a U.S. Coast Guard Master Captain's license, operate a small charter business, and I'm also a volunteer with the Sheriff's Office on their newly created COP patrol unit. Currently on the Intracoastal Waterway, we have a minimum wake zone from approximately 100 yards south of the Hammock Bridge to about 100 yards north of the intersection of the Clubhouse Canal and the Intracoastal Waterway. It's a minimum wake zone only during manatee season from May through September. At other times of the year, boats can proceed at high speed under the bridge, immediately encountering the intersection with the Yacht Harbor Marina and just approximately another 100 yards up the road, the intersection with the Clubhouse Canal. I believe that under Florida statute that cities and municipalities can enact further restrictions on the speed on the waterway, and I'm here to ask and see if the council is interested in making that a permanent minimum wake zone for the safety of the boaters in our community. If it's something of interest to the council and the city, I would volunteer my time to interface with the U.S. Coast Guard, the Army Corps of Engineers, and Fish and Wildlife, make sure we had a coordinated approach. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. Ed Fuller, Palm Coast. Honorable Mayor Holland, Honorable Nick Klufas, Honorable Colonel Howell, Honorable Eddie Branquino, don't hurt me on that, Eddie, and Honorable Robert Cuff. I come here today to talk about swale enhancement. Being from Kentucky, the only swale I knew won the Kentucky Derby. Until I came here, now I know exactly what a swale is. 3 weeks ago, several gentlemen from the Palm Coast, I guess it's the maybe Parks Department, I think, maybe, came by and they dug out my buffalo grass that was out in front of the house, which is terrible. They dug out underneath my driveway, and they actually made it look like a swale. I found out what a swale was. These gentlemen did one heck of a job. There was no dust, there was no dirt, nothing on that driveway. They took my mail, my treasured mailbox that my bride ordered specially to get it. It took me 3 days to put up. They took it down in 15 minutes and put it back in 5, and it looked just as better than when I put it up. That said, I was amazed that these gentlemen came by, and I went out with a notepad, tried to get their names, and it's like, why? I said, because I want to compliment you. It was amazing the job they did. They took their time, but they were so precise in doing it. I mean, it wasn't like it was a chore. They were, when I told them that I really wanted to talk about them, about them and what a great job they did, they loosened up a little bit. So I want to give you their names, and I apologize, gentlemen, because my writing and talking is not the same, but I'll make an attempt. Arthur Strozny, manager Andrew Wolger, Bryant Williams, Peter Petruska, boy, I'm sure I killed his name, and I apologize, gentlemen, John Calvin, Jeff Starr, and the Candyman, whoever that is. I was just amazed. My only complaint, I guess, is, well, even a water truck came by like several days later and watered it. If I had a complaint, the rest of them are buffalo grass. If you could replace it, it would look better than what that swale did. I just want to say what a great job that group did, and I want to commend everybody on this council for that. Okay, for the job they did, and you need to know that. And I apologize to these gentlemen. I will see them in person. Apologize personally for if I messed up their name. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Next speaker. Yeah. None. I'll close public comment. Council, I'm going to be making a comment at this time based on the recent reporting. Had to do with our Palm Coast Connect, a new solution that is very vibrant and working exceptionally well in our community. There were some questions that came up that were surprising to me, frankly, just due to the fact that I had been in Miami with my daughter, who literally just received a liver transplant and received a call from Brian McMillan inquiring about the relationship with Coastal Cloud. Of course, I responded immediately, had answered all of Brian's questions, and thought, okay, that issue was resolved. And then come to understand that Brian continued to call and inquire about certain issues and a historic relationship with Palm Coast Connect, how it was created, what really went down a year and a half ago. So as you can tell, I was unbelievably surprised, considering no one had ever questioned that relationship. So I asked Brian, where is this coming from? And there was nothing for all these months. We're now launched a year now. This is being celebrated in our community. This is creating efficiencies that we didn't even know could exist. And he stated it was, you know, coming from three people that were willing to go on the record. One, to my complete surprise, was our former city manager, Jim Landon. Now, Jim Landon, as many people may know, was terminated. So I was confused as to why Jim Landon was coming back on the scene 18 months later to talk about an issue that he had never brought up before. And then secondly, Cindy Lane. Cindy Lane was our communications director for several years in this community, and then Jason Garullo. And so I said, well, where do you think this is stemming from? I mean, it's kind of confusing to me that 18 months later, these supposed concerns were coming up from former employees that had left the city organization. Why now? And Brian wasn't sure. I mean, he could speculate. We could all speculate. But I decided that I really wanted to take the time required to start looking into this matter very comprehensively. And I have spent hours and days literally asking for public information, all emails associated with this between former members of staff, current members of staff, with the Coastal Cloud emails to understand what transpired and how, just due to the fact that when this agreement took place, I actually had nothing to do with this agreement. This agreement came about by Jim Landon, our former city manager, that brought it forth. He took the time and went over to Coastal Cloud. I know Coastal Cloud will explain a little bit of the relationship, but I think it's important for the audience to truly understand and this community to understand. For those that have questions, and I don't want to dismiss people's questions, I think, frankly, I respect the public and I respect the public process tremendously. It's why I absolutely made it very clear that I am employed by Coastal Cloud. Yes, indeed, that is a fact. That is a fact that was discussed in public hearings, in public workshops. The relationship was clearly heightened. I recused myself from both votes. And so as you can imagine, sitting here 18 months later, we're working through different marketing strategies. And, you know, Brian, you know, was asking these questions that were quite confusing to me. And I know he had asked them of our current city manager. I know he reached out to our city attorney to inquire within. And by the end of the day, Brian had sent me a text message that clearly stated there was nothing there. He found nothing. There was nothing ethical about this, unethical about this relationship. And he was no longer going to pursue this article. And he felt really confident about that. I mean, he did a tremendous amount of work. This wasn't just him just spending a week. It was weeks at a time. And so what I found in my findings were pretty startling, because I went back and I read the article quoted by Jim Landon. And if most of you don't know Jim Landon was a lot of things, but making his opinion known was not one of them. Jim always made his opinion known. So the fact of the matter of him rewriting history, as he often did as city manager, and not being very friendly to the public, to our business community on top of it, what I found really startling was he had indicated to Brian McMillan that he never knew about the Salesforce licensing. Now, that workshop that this was first introduced took place on August 14, 2018. And yet, what Jim failed to disclose was an email that went to Jake Scully, one of the Coastal Cloud employees that was leading this project, 4 months previous to that. And the email clearly stated, "Jim, we need to discuss the cost of Salesforce licensing because we want to make it very clear that you understand there's a cost associated that has nothing to do with Coastal Cloud." Why would Jim Landon not disclose this? I guess you would have to ask him. Why he would bring up an issue 18 months later when he's no longer employed by the city against a company that he actually initiated an agreement with, I guess you'll have to ask him. But I think it's disingenuous, frankly, and it's offensive that we are all sitting up here working under the premise that this relationship was moving forward, that licenses were procured and voted for by this council, not me, recuse myself, and yet three former employees felt the need at this particular moment to rewrite the narrative. So there is no factual documentation or record to back up what they're insinuating. There is zero. And I'd be happy to hand over every single solitary piece of documentation. We live in the sunshine. And for anybody to sit up here and think that Jim Landon became somehow concerned and never communicated that to his counsel that he actually works for, I had said to Brian Landon, either Jim Landon is a liar, he's stupid, or he's incompetent. But there's a reason Jim Landon is no longer employed here. And that is the reason. The fact of the matter is, it has nothing to do with Palm Coast Connect. But for him to come back is very disingenuous when, for 2 years, a local company that now has provided a free service to this community with nothing more than an actual pro bono moment is being treated like this is unacceptable. There's a reason that we actually transformed this community to become more business friendly. The fact of the matter is, we've all set it up here. The perception in the city of Palm Coast was what we were not business friendly. We did not treat businesses with respect. The irony has not escaped me that we still cannot get rid of Jim Landon. We still sit here today and have to have a conversation about the fact that A, he either didn't do his job by disclosing his concerns, because he didn't actually disclose them to the city attorney. He didn't disclose them to the city clerk. Apparently, the only people in City Hall that knew that he had concerns were Cindy Lane and Jason Garullo. I find that very interesting and frankly disappointing. Now, to the fact of having Cindy Lane come back and make accusations to my involvement, I need to clear that up. As mayor, I work very closely with communications. I have to. I get invited to hundreds of events a year. I'm asked to speak at several different organizations, and we have a communications team that ensures that moment is clearly, I am not only prepared, they are prepared, and we coordinate a lot of effort. So I went back and looked at all the emails from Cindy Lane to Melissa Holland over the time she was here. And it's fascinating to me because she had inquired over and over again, can you please look at this newsletter? Can you please make sure this is correct? I mean, hundreds of communications during this time period. So this was not unusual. I absolutely communicate to this day. I was in a meeting with our communications team. They were talking to me about the new newsletter. They were updating me on the Mayor's 90-90 challenge. Yes, indeed, we communicate. Absolutely. But there is nothing in the record, because it didn't happen, of me editing a press release. That is 100% false. Didn't happen. And so to that, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed because, for whatever reason, again, I go back to the fact that this is very confusing, that apparently Cindy Lane had concerns, but no one felt enough respect to this council to voice a single concern. No one felt enough respect to a company that they've been working with for months at a time to raise a flag. And apparently, Jim Landon felt intimidated by Melissa Holland. That just flatly didn't happen. Go back to the fact of you had to know Jim Landon to see that Jim Landon always said exactly what he felt. And so here we sit today with a great solution, a great product, working with a local company. And I want to mention the local company because I do think it's important. So why pro bono work from a local company? Coastal Cloud has a lot of clients. They do a lot of work around the country. They're very successful. They chose to call Palm Coast home because they loved Palm Coast. They chose to raise their 3 children in Palm Coast because they loved Palm Coast. Tim and Sarah Hale aren't your typical IT consultants. They wanted to build a company and employ people that they would want to work at that company. And it was important that they established a culture to do that. So why pro bono? And I asked Sarah Hale this one time. I said, you know, you give so much, and they don't talk about it. They actually don't mention it. Why in the school districts? Well, they are able to send their three beautiful children to a public school system because they value how incredible our education system here is in Flagler County. And they don't have to send their kids to a private school. This is what Sarah told me. So this is our way to give back. So they do a tremendous amount of work in the school district. Tremendous. They actually hire interns every single solitary season in high school. And they pay them. And they work on projects. And they get them certified. This is a company that cares. This is not a company that went into this agreement with the trusted conversations with Jim Landon that now all of a sudden is now sitting here trying to do something that wasn't agreed upon from the beginning. This is very, very, very upsetting. Very upsetting, and this should never happen in our community ever again. Ever again. We are better than this. Our community is better than this, and our community deserves better than this. And so, what do we do now? Now we have a great application in Palm Coast Connect. It's been a positive experience to watch the outcome and the efficiencies. It's provided transparency and accountability. We have a budget season coming up. All the time we're wondering, do we attach the resources, right, to the budget? How do we know? Before Palm Coast Connected, we had 10,400 calls a month coming into our call center. I would ask our former city manager often, where are those calls coming from? What are the residents' concerns? How do we measure them? How do we know we're being responsive? How do we know we're actually replying and responding? So Palm Coast Connect just isn't an app. It's actually a solution that was built on the Salesforce platform. And it's a robust platform. It's agile. It takes into account that you can customize it to meet your needs for today, and you can scale it moving forward. I have the great privilege of working with some of the smartest in the industry. What I've learned and gained from this experience, I have now been able to help transfer that knowledge and understanding to this solution that was free. Just like Bob Cuff has his experience as an attorney, he brings that same experience to this council, whether it has to do with contractual language, land use, as he represented ITT for many years. He brings that same knowledge and experience to the table. Councilmember Brinquino, former law enforcement, he not only brings forth the former ability to understand public safety and the critical nature of it in any community, but he absolutely offers his background, experience, and knowledge to this process that helps benefit us as a community. Vice Mayor Klufis is, you know, our on-site technology genius, who frankly offers a tremendous value not only with just our fiber optics, but really if you hear Nick and listen to Nick, when conversations come up about anything that has to do with technology, whether it be server-based or cloud-based, Nick provides such an invaluable conversation to that process. And of course, we have Colonel Howell, you know, former vet, a tremendous amount of value, a sense of pride, our personal you know, airline expert that can speak to really the power of coordination and communication and everything else. And I think we should all be very proud of those moments. And I don't think we should shy away from those moments of the experiences that we bring to the table. And I think we should all be very, very excited that you have a council that does have a diverse background, skill set, and knowledge that can add value to this. And so I also thought it was important, since this was discussed and published in a local publication, that I ask our city attorney some questions to clear up for the record. And I do think it's important to state this on the record. And so I have formulated three questions. And Mr. Reichman, if you would... Again, I know we have these conversations often about just speaking to the audience that's in front of you and not a legal brief, perhaps, that would be helpful. So the first question I have is, at what time and point in the process was the Innovation Partnership Agreement determined consistent with the city's purchasing policies and Chapter 112 of the Florida statute?
Mayor, obviously before the workshop, the initial workshop that you just mentioned, I sat down and talked with the former city manager, and he gave me some parameters of what he was hoping he could bring forward, some of the ideas that you've described. And we talked about some of my concerns, and he wanted to make sure that whatever we did was going to be ethical and consistent with our purchasing policies, consistent with the code of ethics that are in the Florida statute, that's Chapter 112. So I went back, and my office did some research, and indeed we realized that there were going to be constraints, and you've described some of those constraints already on the relationship between the city of Palm Coast and Coastal Cloud. So that was dealt with at the very beginning. That was dealt with before this came to the public for the very first time.
And what is factually important about this relationship to achieve these legal conclusions?
Right. And that's the most important thing. And you've mentioned it. If you go and you look at the Innovation Partnership Agreement in many, many places, when I did receive it, you know, after the initial discussions, it established what I needed to see from a legal standpoint, and that is that there was not going to be any financial benefit from the city of Palm Coast to Coastal Cloud. This was work, this was services that were provided by Coastal Cloud at no cost to the city of Palm Coast. And that was absolutely essential, not just for the citizens, but also for you, and also for Coastal Cloud. And that was established very clearly in the record, at the workshop, and at the business meeting where it was ultimately adopted.
So no surprises.
Well, no, and I would reiterate that if you look at the minutes of the workshop, there was a discussion at that point in time that there was going to be a need for this platform that you mentioned, that was going to be a cost. But that was not going to be a cost to the taxpayers that would benefit in any way Coastal Cloud and or yourself, directly or indirectly. And that's the key. That's the key under the Florida law that deals with the ethical requirements of public officials.
And are the software payments to Salesforce relevant in this discussion?
Well, as I just said, absolutely they're relevant because if there had been some sort of relationship, direct or indirect, between Salesforce and Coastal Cloud, then that would have defeated the whole purpose of the protections that we were trying to create in establishing this relationship. And it is clear that there were no monies that were paid by Palm Coast to Salesforce that made their way back to, directly or indirectly, Coastal Cloud or to you.
And I just, again, want to make this very clear. During this process, again, this publicly vetted process that occurred on four different occasions with public input that could have occurred at any given time, with the fact that this council sat here and got the presentations, and Mr. Landon, again, chose to not say anything in any way, shape, or form that would negate the fact that we were moving forward in this direction. And when he was quoted in the Palm Coast Observer saying, oh, well, I made up my mind, I wasn't going to move forward with Salesforce, and claiming he didn't know about the licensing costs, when clearly in an email it shows 4 days before the actual workshop, before this innovation agreement was actually discussed, that he received the quote. So again, the timing does not add up with the narrative. It clearly does not add up with the narrative. You can't just go out there and make something up and think that it's okay. It's not okay. And for him to state he wasn't going to move forward with the Salesforce licensing, that's not his call. I mean, maybe that's a bigger problem that we had to discuss. It's not Jim Landon's call if his counsel is not going to move forward after they approved an innovation agreement and then all of a sudden are moving forward with the required Salesforce licensing and the costs associated with it that was clearly spelled out to him in several different occasions and emails, including in conversations with our city attorney. So this whole thing comes down to, I think, because I cannot for the life of me realize why 18 months later this is actually a discussion or a topic that's coming up. Rather, you know, it's a political season. Jim had an ego that was, you know, probably larger than this room, and is still very upset with the fact that he was terminated. And that's unfortunate. I hope he can move on with his life, frankly. And I hope that those that decided to leave the city also can move on with their life. And we'll hear a little bit more from the company itself. I know Matt Morton will be speaking to it as well, but I also wanted to really make sure that this council on the record could clearly state what exactly their position is on this particular issue. So it's resolved, we're moving forward, and then we're done. So, Councilmember Howell, do you have anything?
Yeah, let me state one thing. Somehow or other, in early January, I got sucked into this thing from an email from the Peter principal. That was the name of the person that sent me this email, and telling me that I ran on a platform to do the right thing for the people, yada, yada, and that there is an issue going down, and if I don't look into this, I'm going to be swept and tarnished with the rest of the council. So needless to say, that got my attention. And I purposely wore this pin on my lapel. I'm a life member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. I know investigations, upside, downside. And so I started to look into all this stuff. I had no real knowledge of the historical background. And then I can tell you, from my experience in investigation, I found nothing. There was nothing there. No, you know, no smoke, no mirrors, no nothing. It, you know, and I did talk to Brian, and I read all of the minutes, so I'm satisfied. And I concur that the city has really set itself a unique position by the 311 system. And everybody I talk to, I say, hey, you know, this is the best thing going. Now, we're in a situation where we have one provider, which is Salesforce. And I don't have a heartburn with that, but I do want to know, as we move down the line, are we locked into just one provider for software, or can we do an RFP and see what else is out there? That's the only question I have. But as far as what Coastal Cloud has done for us, and Mr. Vitale, I did read that. I went through everything. There's nothing that I missed. Trust me.
Their money moved from
we
the
are
city
not.
Of Palm Coast.
I will ask you to leave, and I'm not joking.
You will.
Please.
Men with weapons.
Please.
My question is, did the city of Palm Coast spend any money to buy the Salesforce?
Please.
Mr. Vitale, you're out of order, sir.
You addressed me.
You're out of order. Please leave. Please leave.
I have the right to ask a question.
No, you have the right to leave now. It's in our policies and procedures. Sir,
please leave, Mr.
McCauley.
See, apparently, truth is only one direction.
Sorry for the disruption. Please go ahead.
So, you know, I'm totally satisfied. We got a first-rate product, and we got first-rate people that run Coastal Cloud. I don't see any downside at all.
Thank you. Yep. Vice Mayor Klufus.
Absolutely. I recall when we first started this expedition into bringing the city of Palm Coast up to speed with technology, one of the biggest flaws in our entire system was that we had no data and analytics regarding our citizen engagement. We had all of this interaction with citizens, with our city and our city facilities, but we had no way to track it, and more importantly, we had no way to measure results of future state implementation projects when they come to fruition. So, for instance, the 311 project, full support, I think that's great for citizens' engagement, but we had no way to measure any results from our customer support department. And I think a big opportunity in the future is with our automated metering infrastructure. But the real value add that the city has today is the fact that we can holistically look back at data and analytics from the beginning of this process into now and then make judgment calls on how we improve that process and how we implement additional features that are going to continue to improve all these different facets of citizen engagement, and now we can prove that these new features are going to actually help our citizens' involvement with the city of Palm Coast and overall ease satisfaction and hopefully make it a little bit better place to live, work, and play. So I think supporting a local company is a win-win, and I'm in a technology position myself, so I understand the nuances of developing a new platform and everything that goes along with that. I'm thankful that we have the data analytics today to be able to make rational decisions on the future direction of our city's implementation.
And Vice President Kufis, I'm going to ask, you were part of the discussions early on. It was very clear to you what that relationship would look like.
Yep, and I remember discussing that even initially with Mr. Landon when the date that was referenced earlier. But yeah, that was one of the first things that came up about the different platforms and the viability of building something from our inside internal engineers, which the city doesn't have. So coming from a platform where I work that we build everything from the ground up, I have to be a bit more realistic with the city capabilities and what we can adequately provide from internal usage. So having a platform like Salesforce makes a lot of sense. When you have that type of framework and then you're able to build the puzzle pieces to assemble the puzzle, it's a much more advantageous situation for what our city and I'm sure cities around the country are actually capable of providing. It's a very much different environment than a full technology shop where we build everything from ground up.
Yeah. Councilmember Brinquino.
Good evening. Let me start by saying this. It's troubling to me because I personally think, I have no basis other than what I read, to believe that this is political. That's only my opinion. Now, Councilman Jack Howell spoke about investigations. That's our line of work. Investigations usually lead to judgments. There's a judge, and what I found here today, after what I read and after what I heard, Coastal Cloud is guilty of nothing other than being kind. And Mayor, you absolutely not guilty of anything, in my opinion. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Councilmember Cuff.
Well, I wasn't thinking I was going to have to say anything about this tonight, but I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Obviously, with my background, a lot of the concerns that our attorney has addressed here tonight came to my mind when this was originally presented to us as a council, and I was at the meetings, and I'm one of the votes that made this happen, and I'm happy, I'm proud to say that I was. It's easy for me, being something of a Luddite, I learned how to do word processing using MS-DOS as the operating system and WordPerfect 4.1, and anyway. I've seen enough software and hot new things come along and not pan out. So, I'm always happy to be skeptical when we have something presented to us. I raised the concerns, as I say, that Mr. Reichman has addressed, that free meant free. I think there's a TV commercial about that now. But I was satisfied, not just from talking with staff, but also some members of Coastal Cloud's team, that it really did mean free, and their reasons for doing this beyond being good corporate and public citizens made sense to me, to give them experience in this field so that they could market their expertise to other local governments. I was concerned that the requirement that we would have to use Salesforce software to implement this solution might somehow be a backdoor means of compensating Coastal Cloud for their work. And I don't say that in any way to cast any aspersions on the people at Coastal Cloud, but they provide Salesforce solutions to hundreds, if not thousands, of clients around the country, maybe around the world. It occurred to me that maybe there was some kind of commission or override that flowed back to them whenever one of the people they worked with purchased Salesforce licenses. I satisfied myself before I voted for the agreement with Coastal Cloud, and I satisfied myself before I voted for the budget item where we purchased the necessary Salesforce licenses, that that was not the case. I mean, to me, this is no different than somebody giving the city 100 free pickup trucks and then someone second-guessing that by saying, but you know what? They got to buy gas for all those trucks, you know. Why didn't they think of that? And I don't mean to make light of it, because I understand there are some, because of all this recent publicity, there are some concerns from citizens. And, you know, vigilant citizens are one of the best ways to keep your elected officials honest. But I am satisfied, and when the Palm Coast Observer contacted me after the recent letter to the editor, I explained what I've tried to say here tonight, that I don't feel that I was in any way misled by our staff as to what our options were. I thought it was worth doing at the time and taking advantage of Coastal Cloud's expertise. I think that that's the case even more sitting here tonight than I did at the time. I'm not saying I was thinking, oh, this might not work out. But again, I don't know how to push buttons and do things like Mr. Klufas and some others do. Somebody has to show me how to do it, and if it works, that's all I care about. And from what I have seen from our staff and my own experience, I don't know, maybe they have me coded on my app on my phone differently than you all, but I have seen utility workers dispatched within an hour after hours when I was walking my dog at night and saw a water meter overflowing in a neighbor's front yard. And rather than picking up my phone and calling Richard Adams or calling one of the cell numbers I have, because I am a city council member, I said, oh, okay, I've got this Palm Coast Connect thing on my phone, let's see. And I entered the case at about 6:30 at night. By the time I got around the block and got back, there was a utility truck at the location repairing the water meter break. So is that worth it? In my mind, it is. Responsiveness to the citizens, keeping our infrastructure in good repair, being more efficient, allowing us to collect information about where we need to focus our resources. I mean, that water meter breaks another time, we'll have a record that it's already broken once or twice, and maybe it means we need to look at it a little closer. And those are the kinds of benefits that I see from a system like this. So I'm always happy to second guess myself on almost anything. Those of you that know my personality, always like to try to find a middle ground, always try to be balanced. But I am happy to say, sitting here tonight, that I had some, well, a 20% or an 80 whatever percent vote, 25% vote in taking a chance, if you want to look at it that way, on this system, because the results I have seen so far certainly bear out that that the right decision was made. And if someone in staff, and I don't want to relive history, didn't think we were being informed, I wish they had spoken to me. I mean, I certainly made enough snarky comments about the proposed agreement and that I would think someone that had a negative opinion of this agreement would have called me up or taken me aside and said, you know, that's a good plan A, but we ought to look at plan B first. And none of that was ever presented to the council, to my knowledge. And as Councilmember Howell has said, I haven't read every single set of minutes because I was at all the meetings. But I certainly have no recollection that we were ever cautioned that this looks great, but, you know, we ought to look at plans B and C as well before we go for this. So I think Palm Coast Connect is a good thing for the citizens of the city. I think it will be a better thing if we stick with our implementation and use it for things it's good at. I don't think it's going to give us all flying cars that don't need drivers. Maybe it will, but nobody's told me it will, and I remain a skeptic, at least in that point. But I was disappointed at the second guessing and the finger pointing as well, because I think this is a good example of a public-private collaboration and something that has benefited all of the residents and all of the customers of the city of Palm Coast, whether you're a taxpayer, whether you're a resident, whether you're a business owner, or whether you're a municipal employee, part of our staff, who will have the information to do their jobs better. So it's a good thing I didn't know I was going to have to say something. I might have gone on longer.
I actually really appreciate all of the comments, and again, you know, I welcome the questions from the public, but I also welcome the public to do their due diligence when you're responding on social media. You know, when I was on the radio a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that you know, the media spends a tremendous amount of time doing their research, trying to publish a story based on facts, and frankly, it's probably the reason Brian McMillan came to the conclusion that there was nothing there, because there was nothing there. Why he moved forward allowing a letter to be posted, knowing that there were non-truths in it, I think, you know, again, very disappointing. However, you know, we're moving forward in a positive direction. So for those, you know, that are interested, I am more than willing to sit down and talk at any given time, moment, more than willing to share all the information that was shared to Mr. McMillan, as well as to Ms. Lane. She had every piece of documentation as well. And I think moving forward in the future, what I hope to be a positive resolution and a learning experience from all of this is the fact that when you are posting and you're thinking automatically that's a reaction you should have because it must be true, I would just state, remember, when you're dealing with situations like this, there's a local company that has been part of this, that have given up their time and service to this community. And on top of it, remember all the employees that are locally employed by that company. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the many other employees that have been employed and will be employed, because it's detrimental when these conversations happen. And it's even more detrimental when social media and the bullying and the gang-ups start. It's just hurtful. It's hurtful and disruptive to this organization as well, who were working under the assumption that this was moving forward in a positive direction, and 18 months later are finding out some misleading information that was supplied by someone who frankly did take it personally when they were terminated, and did take it personally by the person that was terminated. So there was nothing to, I went in conclusion, when Ms. Lane had stated that the city somehow was working on other solutions, the record doesn't support that. It just doesn't. I mean, unless they were working outside the sunshine, which, you know, would be not appropriate, right? Unless that was happening, and for some reason only a small group of people internally knew that was going on in our city, perhaps what Mr. McMillan was correct about is the culture was not a good one, not a healthy one. And to that point, I would agree. If that was going on and there were other things and other solutions that were being worked on simultaneously and were not disclosed, I would have welcomed those options presented to this council. I would have loved to be able to look at the other solutions, but the fact of the matter is there was nothing in the budget that was indicating there were other solutions being worked on. There was absolutely no email correspondence that there were other solutions being worked on. They weren't speaking to other companies. And to me, that concludes that rewriting of history and that narrative that they were hoping would work. Mr. McMillan did his due diligence and found nothing. And so hopefully that concludes this, following Coastal Cloud's presentation tonight about the relationship and why it's so important and how it's transformed our community. And I'm hoping that everybody here tonight, including those that are participating in the Citizens Academy, will understand the value, frankly, because this is transformation. This is moving in a positive direction, and we are able to have data that we didn't have previous to serve our community even better. And to me, that's exciting. And it's a moment of pride that we can all stand tall collectively, that we supported this, with a company, frankly, that has added tremendous value to the process. So that concludes my statement on the record that I thought was important, frankly, that I would not have done if it included with Brian McMillan stating to me that there is nothing there, he found nothing, and then a letter was published with baseless false accusations that I can't go unchallenged. Frankly, it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate to me. It's not appropriate to this council, and it's not appropriate to this community as a whole. And it's certainly not appropriate to the company that has invested $350,000 of their time into this solution, working under the assumption that this was moving forward. So I don't believe it was miscommunication, by the way. I mean, the record doesn't support that. The record does not support the miscommunication. Okay, so council, I am going to move on and ask for approval of the minutes of the...
I will second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number 2 is a proclamation for Equal Pay Day. I'm going to be presenting this down at the podium. Whereas, more than 55 years after the passage of the Equal Pay Act, women, especially minority women, continue to suffer the consequences of unequal pay. Whereas, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, women working full-time, year-round, typically earn 81.5% of what men earn. And research by the American Association of University of Women shows the gender gap is equivalent to 1 year after college graduation, even after controlling for factors known to affect earnings, such as occupation, hours worked, and college major. And whereas in 2009, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act was signed into law, and now pending in legislation is the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would amend the Equal Pay Act. Whereas, according to one estimate, college-educated women working full-time earn more than $500,000 less than their male peers do over the course of a lifetime. With a lifetime of lower pay, meaning women have less income to save for retirement and less income counted in a social society, Social Security, or benefit formula. Whereas nearly 4 in 10 mothers are primary breadwinners in their households, and nearly 2/3 are primary or significant earners, making pay equality critical to families, economic security. And whereas fair pay equity policies can be implemented simply and without undue costs or hardship in both the public and private sectors. Whereas fair pay strengthens the security of families today and eases future retirement costs while enhancing the American economy. And whereas Tuesday, March 31st, 2020, symbolizes the time in 2020 when the wages paid to the American women catch up to the wages paid to men from the previous year. Now, therefore, be proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Palm Coast does hereby recognize March 31st, 2020, as Equal Pay Day. In the City of Palm Coast, and we do hereby urge all citizens to recognize the full value of women's skills and significant contributions to their labor force, and further encourages businesses to conduct an internal pay evaluation to ensure women are being paid fairly. Adopted this third day of March 2020, signed by Mayor Melissa Holland. Thank you.
We are with the American Association of University Women, and we are celebrating this year, as we are addressed now, the 100th anniversary of women receiving the right to vote in the United States. The pay gap is one of the things, or one of the issues, that was discussed back in the 1800s and before. There's always been a pay gap as far as we've got America here. We are having an unhappy hour to celebrate, or should we say not celebrate, but to commiserate March 31st at Hijackers from 4 to 7, and we would love to see as many of y'all there as we can. We need to equal pay, equal work, equal pay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
An invitation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's great.
Oh, that's sweet. This is sweet.
Isn't it?
And we all got equal pay days.
We'll pay.
I don't want to throw tennis balls at you. Thank
you. Okay. Next on our agenda is a presentation appreciation for volunteers who served the City of Palm Coast during the Palm Coast Open.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This year's Men's Futures Tennis Tournament took on a new direction. A new name, we named it Palm Coast Open, a new presenting sponsor by Riley Opelka, new events inside the tournament such as a Pro-Am, Plated Palm Coast, Players Night in Palm Coast, and brunch closing ceremony. We had an increase of attendance to just over 800 people. We welcome players from all over the world to Palm Coast. 23 different countries were represented. And all of this wouldn't be possible without the 24 volunteers and 9 ball kids who worked from opening to close, a total of 483 hours that included tasks like court maintenance, front gate, player services, refill refreshments, and laundry. You name it, these amazing people helped make it happen. I would like to recognize each of them with a certificate and a signed tennis ball from our sponsor, Riley Opelka. These tennis balls were used during his recent win at the Delray Beach Open. Ooh. Thank you all. Gary Anderson, Kathleen Bird, Dick Clausen, Terry Fiera, Peg Klosch, Carol Cromer, Agnes Lightfoot, come on up. Gene Major, Steve Major, Hank Marshall, Rich and Mary McGowan, Janice McIntyre, Dal Moore, Adelette Kegley. Adelette submitted and edited 355 photos of the event.
Wow.
Joy Nelson, Gail Neuenfeld, Deborah Nichols, Natalia Scout, Ron Thornton, Jim Walls, Nikki White, Donna Warmer, Pam Zimmerman and Larry Zimmerman. Thank you all for all of your help and all of your service. We greatly appreciate it.
Next on our agenda is a presentation by Coastal Cloud. Mr. Morton.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. To address the citizen who left earlier, the truth is not one-sided, and in point of fact, it's subjective and it's knowable. And for it to work, though, we have to seek it earnestly, and it has to have no ulterior motive. To that point, to that very point, I asked to have placed on the agenda an opportunity, which was accepted by Coastal Cloud, to come here tonight to speak from their perspective, because they have a very integral part to this story, and I think they deserved the opportunity to come here and share with the community what they've done for the city in the last 18 months and what has happened. So I thank you for coming and accepting my invitation to be here tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Thank you all. The tennis stuff is a lot more fun than my topic. Huh? Yeah, I know. But thanks, and I appreciate all of your support, you know, and your comments earlier. You know, frankly, it feels a little redundant to talk about, but the problem is the damage has sort of been done. You know, the toothpaste is out of the tube when the Observer chose to publish Cindy Lane's article last week. And it is, unfortunately, having an impact on our business, and I think it's, you know, as the mayor said, we just can't let people make these sort of factless accusations and without a response. I mean, I feel like it happens everywhere in our world these days, and at least our little community, we need to freaking change that. So what I wanted to do, Mayor Holland was not involved in how this whole relationship developed with Jim Land and the city in general. It has resulted in a wonderful product, and it was Jim's idea in large part. But to have this new narrative now is inaccurate, so what I propose to do is, unfortunately, what Brian McMillan did not do, and Cindy Lane did not do, which is the deeper due diligence of how this whole thing together, how it came together, when it came together, who the principal parties were, who was involved, who was not involved. So so thank you for your time. I will try to be quick about it. Who are we? Many of you know us. We're a local company that had our 7th birthday last week. We launched in February 2013. Many of you may remember the governor actually showed up for it, which was unbelievable. And we've been, you know, successful beyond, you know, Sarah and I ever thought would be possible. We're 200 employees now. We are the top-rated Salesforce IT consulting firm in the country, from little old Palm Coast. And, you know, this is kind of unbelievable. We will bring in $40 million in revenue to this city this year. Not all of our people are here, right? We've got about 50, 60. Many of them are here. You guys can raise your hand in the back and their families. You know, wow. Fortunately, we've had a great impact in our community. But we bank here. Intracoastal is our bank, so all this revenue flows through here one way or another. It is also the location we bring our entire team of 200 and their families every year. We just hosted a series of clients last week at Hammock Beach Club from Gulfstream Aerospace, Valvoline, I mean, like major, major companies that never even knew Palm Coast existed. So, you know, my belief is we are the kind of company that hopefully is good for Palm Coast and how we diversify our economy and provide new career opportunities for our families in the future. By the way, of that $40 million, absolutely zero has to do with the city. And I know you all researched that, and I appreciate that, but I wanted to reiterate that again because that's not what is being stated on social media, and we're not going to stand by and let that happen. $0. I like this team. Okay, our clients are everywhere. One of you said that already. We've got 650 clients, mostly in the U.S., but a little bit in Europe as well. I mean, we're actually a relatively big deal, which is kind of crazy to think from sitting on the beach. But it's the business model has worked very well. The bad news is, so is the damn internet. So when articles get posted, if you go Google Coastal Cloud right now, what do you think is the first article that shows up? Yeah, Palm Coast, The Observer, and Cindy Lane. That is a damaging thing to happen. We have clients calling us the last week. What's going on down there? We have other client events. We are planning it. We are having to consider to postpone. This is not a joke. It is not something, unfortunately, limited to our community. It has an impact on our business across the country, and it should not be taken lightly and shouldn't happen again. What do we do locally? Look, you know, Melissa was very nice. You know, Sarah and I started this thing, and we are in a very fortunate position that we are being successful. We love this community. We picked it for a reason. We've raised our kids here, and we try to do what we can to give back. We're kind of like Nick. We're just geeks, so we can only contribute in certain ways, but we try to do what we can. There are four. We also, like many of you, get asked to invest in everything to help, and we said we can't. So we picked four things to put our chips on. Number one, launching the Sea Turtle Hospital up at Whitney Lab, if you're familiar with that, near Marineland a few years ago. We helped launch it and continue to sustain it. On the right side, Safe Schools for Alex. If you know this story, unfortunately, Alex is one of the students that was killed down in Fort Lauderdale at the Parkland shootings. We work with his father, who has done, you may know, done an incredible job putting together safety programs around the country. We run all of his marketing and communication to be able to get his message out and make schools safer across the country. We also work with Flagler Schools. Sarah personally recruits a ton of interns. As the mayor said, we've had 42 local paid interns in this community since we opened our doors. Many of them are off in college. One of them just got accepted to Stanford and is going this fall. I mean, it's a, you know, we do the little part we can to help change the lives of the kids that are in our community. We also work with the school on classrooms to careers, trying to connect students with local businesses and government to be able to get real-world experiences and work on their soft skills when they're younger. And then the coolest thing Sarah's doing right now is working with the school on a new technology flagship program to complement all the other great flagships going on here, to also introduce a technology career path so Professor Klufis can come in and do his thing. And then lastly, the city of Palm Coast. We made a big investment to say, hey, let's make this 311 thing happen for all the reasons y'all said. Let's invest a lot of money in making that happen. But as Mr. Reichman said, we hope we can get smart about it and do it elsewhere in the country too. And it's memorialized in the agreement that way, that we will make the investment. It's good for our community, but in theory, it's good business for us too. If we get good at it, we can help sell it across the country to create more jobs back here in Palm Coast serving those clients. That was the game plan. All above board, no compensation for it, and I think memorialized well. So then what happened? Everything is hunky-dory until a week, well, actually about three, 4 weeks ago, Brian McMillan calls me too with this article. I'm like, what are you talking about? He did his due diligence, and then he called and said, yep, I'm not going to write it. Turns out, you know, all those roads led to nowhere. Because you know what he really did? I mean, he can talk to Melissa, and he can talk to me, and he can talk to the three squeaky wheels. And get, you know what he finally, he called Cynthia Schwierz, because Cynthia, where is she? She actually uses this stuff every day. And she was using it earlier when whatever these other so-called solutions were going on. They didn't exist. And once Brian talked to her, he said, there is no smoking gun anywhere on this thing. Probably like y'all's investigation bore out, dead. Why he chose to have Cindy Lane be a bully and say, well, publish my article anyway, even though it's not based on fact, is beyond me and should not be allowed to continue without repercussions in the future. So this is, unfortunately, forgive me for the ugliness of this, but this is the article posted, Miss Lovely Sue Urban, right out of the gate, with inappropriate language. This is what is being published on the internet about Coastal Cloud and Palm Coast on factless article. That is just inappropriate, claiming that we're contributing to bribery, like Mr. whatever that guy's name. I mean, give me a break. You cannot have people making claims like this in public that are not challenged and are false, and they need to be held accountable for it. Peter Principal, I am, you know, that guy's got so much that he won't even put his real name, just hiding behind his keyboard and throwing stones. Yes. Give me a break. You know, and then Marion, whoever Marion, yet another shady dealing again by our mayor. That's pretty impossible, as you will see. Even, I hate to say this, but Heidi Shipley, who I do not really know her. I know y'all, this whole thing went on with Landon. She was actually supposed to be on the commission, but every time I was here, she was not here. So now that she's throwing stones, say Mayor Holland was the reason Coastal Cloud was involved at all, is completely inaccurate. I'm going to show you the timeline why. Why she's throwing those stones, and is she here to talk about it? I don't think so. Is Cindy Lane here? I invited her to come, right? Because I don't have her email. Did she show up? I don't think so. Like, be accountable for your words, or don't make them. Jason, the other, I didn't know who this guy was till I found out he also quit the city. then starts throwing stones. I mean, it's a joke, but these are out on the internet about our company and defaming our brand and having a potentially material impact to our business and then a material impact to the reputation of this city. Great, I'm glad. Jessica Falgo, I assume that's Beau's wife. I don't know. What, he was the key player in making this whole thing come together. They need to have a dinner conversation and get the facts right. Because, I mean, this is ridiculous. And then this guy called me, every one of these people I called and said, will you please call me and explain why you're making these comments about us and what your basis for it is? And if you were me and Sarah, would you want to be treated that way? This guy did call me back. He shared within 20 minutes of the Observer posting on Facebook to 50,000 people in this community. 50,000. I mean, this is the damage that gets done when these spurious claims get done and no one holds them accountable. He apologized. He said, I didn't comment, I just shared, whatever. He and his wife started a business here, just like Sarah and I did. Why he wouldn't have contacted us if he had concerns and just chose to blast it out is beyond me. Treat others how you want to be treated. And then lastly, MJ Mack, whoever this is, it's unethical and completely sidestep mandatory procurement laws. We heard, no, we didn't. How do you, it's $0? But this is what's getting published and commented on, et cetera. So what really happened? This is how the contractual relationship worked, just like Mr. Reichman said. Two totally separate agreements. One to Coastal for $0, one to Salesforce for licenses. We get $0 behind them, as does any other Salesforce partner in the United States of America. That is our policy. Salesforce, a multi-billion dollar company, they can't do that stuff. Right? It's not just us, it's every partner as well. If you want to see the licensing agreement, a partner licensing agreement that shows that, I'm happy to show it with you. Baseless claim that we're somehow getting kickbacks, somebody called us a subcontractor. If you got a comment, do your due diligence. Then who approved it? Oh, Mayor Holland, according to Cindy Lay, under the pressure. Well, I don't see her signature anywhere here on the IPA, the partnership agreement. I do see Bose, he needs to talk to his wife, and Jim Landon. No sign of the mayor anywhere. And we were involved in all this. She had nothing to do with it. The partnership agreement itself, just like Mr. Reichman said, totally crystal clear on what everybody's role was. There's a statement by Cindy Lane and even Brian McMillan. Well, maybe there's a misunderstanding at the meeting we all sat at. What, were we really going forward with a 311 system? Well, the agreement said an innovative partnership agreement with Coastal Cloud to develop a 311 engagement. I mean, that doesn't sound like we're not sure, you know, and we're afraid to talk about it. It's memorialized in the agreement. Again, why it even gets published that that's a true statement is a joke. So what really did happen? And this is a timeline of events that, again, I wish Cindy or Brian McMillan had done their due diligence on because they're way off the mark. This entire thing started in March of 2017, not 18. March of, you know why? City issues an RFP for an asset management system. And Sarah Hale responds to it. She hates proposals, responses, by the way. We said, hey, maybe we could do something with a local city. We actually knew Melissa socially at the time. She was not a Coastal Cloud employee at the time, though. But she had no knowledge that we were bidding on. We bid, and we get nuked. We do not make the down select. Okay? I mean, they down select to three providers, and we did not make it. So we said, oh, well, that's a bummer. It would be cool to do some work locally. But let's find out why. Can we get smart about what we missed and get the scoring? Again, Melissa, not an employee. This is the beginning, and she didn't even work for us. Here's the scorecard we got back. Very professional, very good, very interesting findings. We're not dead last, but we're damn close. Pricing, we're actually the cheapest. We're the least expensive solution that was bid. And then to the right of that, we're the lowest on relevant experience and references. Because guess what? We didn't really have a ton of local city experience. This is where we thought we might get it. Why not start in your own town and see if we can make something happen? Maybe that town would be interested in us being successful so that we can create other jobs and maybe do this elsewhere in the country. So that's what got us going. Well, maybe we could find a way to do something together. This is the killer part. 4 days later, unrelated, we get an email from Beau and his intern asking to meet with Sarah and I to talk about ideas of what are the gaps and opportunities for creating new high-tech startups in Palm Coast. This is, again, Melissa Holland did not work for Coastal Cloud. I mean, we couldn't believe it. The left hand did not know what the left hand is nuking us, saying we're not qualified enough to even make it to orals. The right hand is that, can you come tell us how to create jobs like yours? It might start with a policy called buy local to start. At least consider it. At least don't nuke them. At least bring them in. Maybe you can help us get smart. If we're already the cheapest, maybe a little investment is the right business thing to do for our community. Did that? So it blew my mind. So it starts with Bo, and his job is econ development underneath Jim. That was in May. In June, then they show up, but they want to meet in our offices. Okay, not here. It's great. Fine. Come to Coastal Cloud headquarters. Landon shows up. Bo shows up. Steve Viscardi, who was like the IT guy at the time, and then two interns. It's great. And they want to know, how do we create more jobs like what y'all are doing here? Landon introduced the idea in that first meeting in June of 2017 of this innovation partnership thing. I'd never even heard of it before. He said, well, what if we connect the city with Coastal to get you smarter and then you generate more high-tech jobs? I said, that sounds like a great idea. We just got beat up on this asset management thing. That seems like a win-win. But Mayor didn't even work for us at the time. Cindy Lane, Brian McMillan, where is the dude? This is all an email, their emails. If I can spend a weekend doing it to figure it out, you can. Landon started complaining then about Tyler Technologies, runs a bunch of the city, said he calls it the beast, horrible set of systems. If we could just move off of this stuff, it won't integrate. It's in Cindy Lane's article, is one of the great solutions they were evaluating instead of Coastal and Salesforce. Are you kidding me? He also complained about something called C-Click Fix, which we'll hear later, in the very first meeting. After that meeting, later, Melissa Holland went to join us. Why? Because we had a bunch of work in Tallahassee that Sarah was leading, but we thought we could do more. And Melissa has a bunch of good relationships in Tallahassee. So we thought, why don't we hire her? Plus, when we met her, you know, we learned that she's the mayor, pays a whopping $12,000 a year, and she's a single mom with a sick daughter, unfortunately. We said, hey, she can add value to our business through her Tallahassee connections, and frankly, she can have another job on top of her lovely mayor job. We didn't know then she would have no time after her mayor job to do anything. But my point is, all this ball got rolling, and she had nothing to do with this. Okay, so then what happens? We kind of go into the Landon vacuum of 6 months of nothing. It's okay, but at least it was a cool idea. Then he comes back and says, hey, I really want to get moving on this thing. This innovation economic growth policy or approach. We said, that's cool. Goes away for 2 months. Bo comes back and then says, we're going to hire somebody to lead this. But Tim and Sarah, would you mind interviewing them and screen them and help them be part of the... We said, sure. You know, we're local tech people. Happy to be part of that. No involvement from the mayor in any of this. We move ahead. June, we get the first draft of the IPA, right? That's what Mr. Reichman was talking about. Comes from Jim Landon to Jake Scully, who's on our staff, who's here tonight, 1 year after the original meeting. I mean, we're moving, but we're moving at glacier pace. But it's progress, and it's a good agreement, frankly. Jake immediately responds to that letter, though, the draft, and says, Mr. Landon, there were software licenses costs that are independent of us, though, that you need to plan for. They would be required. And it's a totally separate agreement, too, beyond the IPA agreement with us. He said, no problem. He replied back, understood. Let me know when you can get me pricing on Salesforce. So we connect Salesforce to the city to do the quote. In August, Salesforce delivers an official quote document. I'm going to show it to you before the workshop, a week before the workshop meeting. So to say that he had no knowledge, or Cindy Lane said he was unaware, is just simply inaccurate. And here's the evidence of it. June 22nd, from Jim, responding to Jake and our team, we will need to discuss the cost of Salesforce licensing when you have an estimate. How can he claim he didn't know? Here's the quote. Here's the official quote from the Salesforce software guys. In the upper left, it looks like it's to a guy named Jim Landon, and it looks like the quote date is on 8/10 to like before the workshop. How can you claim you didn't know? And then see that little box for $15,000 on the right in red? I'll come back to that in a minute. But I mean, it's just a lie to say that you're not aware. Then what happens? We all do the workshop. It's where I met several of you for the first time. It was a good workshop. Landon presents the IPA. Sarah and I do a little dog and pony about other 311 systems in the city of Nashville, Tennessee, and Peterborough, England, and, you know, I think we all felt pretty good. It would be pretty cool to make something like this happen in our city, where we're small enough to actually make it happen. The council votes unanimously yes, and the mayor recuses herself from the whole, from through it. Oh, you misspelled your name. Sorry about that. So we're I thought we're good. Let's go forward. The agreement was just as shown that we're going to proceed with building. No one said, hey, we might not. Oh, by the way, we have three other competing solutions. Zero talk of that. And if it had been, I would have challenged Landon's ethics. There's no way. How would he have led us on when we're investing tons of money and time to do that? I can't believe he would ever do that to our face. I just, for whatever reason now, you know, history is being recast. And then we all know what happened. Next month, he leaves Palm Coast, and Bo becomes interim city manager. Okay? Then this gets interesting. Bo, who again's wife, is saying this is all because of the mayor. We send him videos about Cary, North Carolina, because they're doing a whole bunch of innovative stuff in this space. He replies, love the videos, thanks for sharing. I look forward to kickstarting Palm Coast transformation. Does not sound like a guy that's being intimidated by the mayor and forced into decisions and doing things against his will. It's just a lie. So then we move ahead. Bo goes away. Mr. Morton comes in. Starts in April of this past year. And then we start actually getting some traction. Because remember, at this point, we're like a year and a half in without any real results. But Mr. Morton gets it. The mayor gets it. And we start pushing. 2 months later, we go live with the first version of Palm Coast Connect. And this press release that I guess was so horrible and all the rewriting, or it's just is completely inconsistent with the past history on it. And then it evolves every 2 weeks and keeps getting better and better. It wasn't that great, and, you know, but it keeps moving, unlike traditional software in a city government, which is like frozen in cement. Cindy Lane resigns. Jason, I don't even know these people. I don't know why they're resigning at the time, but to me, this is just no way it relates to this program. I never even met them before, and I was in it every day with Landon and Bo. If they have an issue, they should have an issue with Landon and Bo. They were the ones setting the pace, not the mayor. Then, 3 months later, we had this hurricane shows up. The mayor now has a good handle, and Mr. Morton, on what's possible. Instead of going and buying another system or doing things in paper and spreadsheets as traditionally happens, they say, why don't we use this new thing we've got and reconfigure it to do hurricane operations? And it worked, and we did it in 4 days. Demonstrating the value that this thing can not only handle all those little requests, but it can morph to do other things without spending more license money. That's the key. Wasn't more licenses, it was some more investment from Coastal, but we're getting smarter. Now we're building an emergency management system that we can, you know, go do with someone else maybe. It would be great. Okay, so bottom line is what? The city and Coastal partnership was initiated by Landon and Bo in early 17, before the mayor was employed, as an economic development initiative. It was not forced in by the mayor, as is being claimed. She had zero involvement through the entire process. Why? Because Jim's no dummy. Jim knew once we were halfway through that she worked for us, like, keep Melissa totally out of this. And we agreed. Why would we ever want them to have the risk of that? And then he was well aware of the self-force licenses ahead of the workshop. There were no surprises, as are now being claimed by the city. Okay, so the last major point, the cost of the software. If you read the article, Cindy Lane says, the Palm Coast app costs 3 or 4 times more annually than if the city had purchased off the shelf. But of course, they were forced by the mayor to buy this. Those products also offer more functions. How could the city say no to Coastal Cloud's app, even if it became the financial cost is going to be so much higher than C-Click-Fix, the thing that Landon used to make fun of? Because the mayor's making them do it. No, and it's not even close to accurate. So here's how this citizen engagement system works. It's not just an app. The app is that little thing that worked to get the guys out to fix the leak. But then what? It's got to feed off to Cynthia's customer service team. It's got to get routed to all these other departments internally. It's a whole bunch of workflow stuff. And potentially, you even need to dispatch guys in the field to show up and fix the leak. That's a whole bunch more functionality. But Cindy Lane did not explain that in her article, and the Observer didn't do due diligence to flush it out. C-Click-Fix that she references, that she says costs $15,000 to set up and $36,000 a year, does that piece of this equation. I mean, it's a cool piece. It's a sexy little app, but that's all it does. Salesforce does all those things. Yeah, it costs $100,000, but it's apples and oranges. It's not the same freaking thing. and to represent to the public that it is and publish it that way is bogus. And if you do normalize it down and say there's a piece of Salesforce that is just like, remember that little $15,000 red box I showed on the quote from Landon? That's that piece. It's half the price of CClickFix. Did that get shown by Cindy Lane? Did that get reported on by them? No. They're spinning it into a, we're paying three or four times as much. It's just false and shows an incredible lack of rigor in their analysis. And, you know, what's really cool, CClickFix doesn't even exist anymore as a company because it turned out it couldn't exist. It's just one little niche. It needed to solve all that other stuff. So what happened? Got swallowed up by a big monster company that does all that other stuff. And they have yet to produce a product since then. Meanwhile, the city of Palm Coast is running around with an integrated thing running on Salesforce that seems to be pretty cool. So it's just a whole farce. And the collection of misinformation released in the public domain is just criminal to me and is having a material impact on a major employer in this town. And none of them came to us to talk about it and challenge it and gather actual data. So bottom line, the Salesforce licenses do not cost three to four times as much. In fact, they're 50% less expensive. Number two, the platform has much, much broader capabilities and can be morphed into other things using the same licenses. And at the bottom, Cindy Lane apparently didn't bother checking with Cynthia and Doug and the people that are really using this stuff every day to understand the scope and pricing and value of what she was, you know, being slanderous about. I mean, do your homework. So now what do we get? What you already said. We can measure what's going on in this city. For the first time, we know not just how many calls, but what are they for. We know how long it takes to get different types of tasks done. You can figure out your budget should allocate where the work is. We never had that kind of intelligence before as a city. It's super valuable. So bottom line is what? City Lane misrepresented the facts around the city and Coastal Cloud's relationship. The representation was printed and promoted by the Observer and shared across social media channels. It recklessly damaged the reputation of Coastal Cloud. That's a big freaking deal to us and all the jobs of the people we create here. And people need to be held accountable for it. We can't just ignore it. We thought, did we just not show up? We cannot not show up. We've got to stand up to the bullies. The entire city, the city and Coastal Innovation Partnership was crafted by Landon and Bo, the people who were behind the scenes now saying everything was, it was their freaking idea. It was not the mayor's idea. We've gotten zero compensation from the city, and we've invested over $320,000 in this thing so far. It's the right thing to do. It's a great solution. We actually think we're going to be able to do great things with it elsewhere, hopefully, as we all keep getting smarter and create more jobs here. The licenses are not more expensive. The bottom line to me, and this is what I think the root is, Palm Coast Connect is now creating a new culture in Palm Coast that is more transparent, accountable, and efficient than it's ever been. Guess what? You can measure what's going on in every department. So all these people that are leaving to me, and this happened at the end of David Ayer's radio station last Friday, right? What did Brian say? I think that maybe there's a culture issue going on, and that's why people, yeah, the culture is because now there's transparency and accountability and efficiency. I'm pretty cool with that. As a citizen and a taxpayer, I think that's like how it's supposed to be. And that's how the business world works, or you get fired. So, you know, if that's a change in culture and people are uncomfortable with that, let's have more of it. It's a win-win deal, is the bottom line. It's good for the city, it's good for the citizens, and hopefully it creates more high-tech jobs here in the community. So, that's it. Thanks for letting me say my piece. You know, it's a very important issue to us, obviously. We have a lot of invest in this community, and we don't do it, you know, you don't hear from us much, but you will hear from us when people come out and unfairly attack us. And I think more people should be, we all need to be more aggressive with the bullies, because it's getting out of control, and hiding behind aliases and hiding behind social media accounts is not productive for anybody. We need to get back to class. I'm very disappointed. I personally invited every one of these people here. None of them showed up. I wish they were. If any did come in late, would love to repute anything I said, I'm happy to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to add one thing, Mr. Hale. I want to apologize for this crap that has happened here. Okay? I mean, you were slandered.
Yeah.
And people
you know
did not have the data right. the truth and just went the other way.
Right.
And, you know, you provided a great product. I appreciate the fact that you are an energizer in the community with your business. You are the forefront of the new technology.
It's good for all of us.
You know, and so we all benefit. And trust me, I looked.
I
looked under every rock and under every sand rabbit or whatever.
I would have too.
And you're clean as a whistle.
Yeah. That's why I'm so pissed.
Yeah, and rightly so.
It should have never been published. But the damage has been done. I don't know what to do about it now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
how
something
it
that you got
to
take
Welcome
a
to the political season.
Right.
I'm going to go back to business.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's just move forward.
No, we got to hold these people accountable. We cannot
let
false statements go without making it uncomfortable.
But thank you for
thank
your
you.
Outstanding presentation
thank
because
you.
I know for me and Eddie,
this
is good because we now know the whole
history. Right. And if
history.
You get any more data that in any way, I want you to come to me and we'll talk about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah, sure.
We'll be totally straight. But this, I went through everything. And this is how it really went down.
Yeah.
And it's not just it's slanders to her.
Oh, that's right.
And the people, that is wrong. It is morally wrong.
You know, here's the misperception. Because she's the mayor, there is an assumption, wrongfully, but the assumption is that it's unethical for her to be that close to this. And it's wrong. Because you've been separated. You've been isolated from this stuff. I'm convinced of that. And, you know.
The record, right.
Okay.
And I know Mr. Morton wants to make a comment as well, a statement.
I did, and thanks for bearing with me, counsel. Well, I'm more colloquial and verbose than I usually am, which is enough. But I thought it was important to speak from the city and the employee perspective, because I think there was three facets to this event and to what happened. And I've had to walk the halls of City Hall for the last several weeks with very uncomfortable people, concerned people, confused people, very much similar, I'm just going to assume, what's happened in your organization.
Yep.
And so it's important for me to speak about a few things, if council will indulge me, and to remind, let the community know a couple of things. First of all, I want to be very clear, the agenda, believe it or not, the council doesn't control the agenda. That's the way our form of government is set. So when these things went on months and months ago, wasn't the mayor or the council asking them for to be on? It's the city manager's prerogative. I want to be clear about tonight. Me asking you to be here was my prerogative. I get to set the agenda, not the council. I was hired because there was a need for change, and that was a constant conversation I had with dozens and dozens of community members when I came in, both to interview, and the first week I was on the job at the State of the City, the first interactions I had with all the clubs I traveled to, all the citizens I met, it was, we're not business-friendly, we're not citizen-friendly, we don't listen. What is wrong with the city? How are you going to fix the city? Part of that was an organizational culture that manifested in cultural norms we all know about. Part of it was reflective of the very large volume of work. We are a growing city. We have a lot of work. We have 10,000 calls a month or more come in, on top of all the other interactions that we are proud to have with our citizens in this community. And we were doing it on paper, and we were doing it in antiquated ways. And that's no reflection on staff. That was the way the culture had developed. I was told there needed to be a cultural change in the city. This is from the community, not from the council. This is from the citizens of this community. And I came out early out of the gate and said, we're going to make people the purpose of our work, not a distraction to it. And that was a new philosophy. And I think that philosophy is, in fact, guiding our internal and external interactions all the time, 100% of the time. And I hear citizens tell me that all the time. So we come to this fact of change, and change is extraordinarily hard. Change, even when it's expertly executed, whether it's a culture, whether it's an organization, whether it's for an individual, is difficult. Many people say they want change. At the end of the day, they don't. We're very comfortable, all of us, right where we are most of the time. And Palm Coast was no exception. But I also wanted to make clear that we have a great staff that sits out here. They don't deserve those aspersions. They share a singular pride, and I see it every day. They bring the best of who they are to come to this city and to serve the residents of this city. And they do it with integrity, and they do it when they're congratulated, as we saw tonight, by a citizen, and they do it, unfortunately, a lot of times when they receive withering criticism. And for that, I'm sorry that they get criticized, but I'm proud and grateful to work alongside them, as I am to work alongside this council and with Coastal Cloud on this project. When I came on board, there was no mention of a 311 alternative. There was only Palm Coast Connect. In fact, I flew into the city 5 days early. I didn't want to miss the State of the City address, the big unveiling of Palm Coast Connect. And I have found no evidence that any meaningful work had ever been accomplished toward any other purpose. The Innovation Partnership, as we learned, agreement was in effect. The licensing component had been voted on. PCC was announced at the 2019 State of the City, and it was very well received by the entire community. I've watched over the last year as the city has been the recipient of hundreds of hours of free consulting that has helped us analyze our core business practices, diagnose solutions, and build resolution-oriented systems that transform completely how this city is managed. I've been local government for 25 years, and for the first time, I'm excited about what a city is doing. And it's not just me. I had a phone call with a lady named Terry Takai, the former Chief Innovation Officer of the United States Department of Defense, now holds a position in consulting for municipalities around the country and also works for eGovernment Republic and Government Technology Magazine. She told me, her words, she was excited. Palm Coast is leading in innovation. Palm Coast is leading the way. I've made a lot of staffing and organizational changes over the past year, and I want everyone to know, including our staff and the community, I take full responsibility for that, as it should be. But I'm very proud of the team that's built, that sits here tonight. I'm proud of our 570 almost employees. We have leaders both experienced and fairly new, but again, all committed to making this community the best, as are you and as is this council. So what do we have today? What do we got? We have accountability like I've never seen as a local government manager. We have Palm Coast Connect serving as the hub for data-driven accountability and visibility throughout the organization. It allows us to actually know what we're doing, to know it in real time, to be accountable for it, and to have to communicate to our council and community. Palm Coast Connect has been an overwhelming success in tracking issues, and the data has allowed us to understand the decisions we make and the money we spend from an objective perspective. And this is not just my opinion. We do the National Citizen Survey every other year to confirm what trajectory the citizen is on. This is a scientifically venerated survey done by the International City County Managers Association. It's tuned, it's years and years and years of experience. The data is reliable. These are metrics that we've received, and I don't know how anyone could not be astounded, and we're going to communicate this whole survey to the public in the near future. The overall image of the city of Palm Coast as a city government rose 15 points to where 76% of our citizens have a positive image and believe the city is doing good work. The services, this is huge. The services provided by our customer service, that's our entire city departments, all of our employees, that's engagement and interactions that a citizen feels like they are being served the way they should be, rose 14 points. 75% of our citizens feel we are excelling and executing on customer service. Our customer service increase, in other words, how did we do year over year from the survey? How do people feel? Are we improving? Are we stagnant? Rose from 69 to 78% positive result. The overall direction, in other words, how are we welcoming citizen involvement? How is the city going in there in the citizen's perception? Both up. Lastly, the only other statistic I'll point out tonight, acting in the best interest of the city, acting in the best interest of the citizens, that metric rose 9 points this year. All these metrics rose in the past year, and many of them are the highest they've ever been since this survey has been conducted. So moving forward, to be clear to the council, be clear to the staff, be clear to the community, I welcome the same questions, I welcome the same inquiry as I've had internally and externally. I am frankly very excited about what we're doing. As I mentioned, I've been in local government for 25 years, and I will say from my opinion, my humble opinion, the things we're working on are truly transformative. And more importantly, I can sit here